John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio, joined as we always are on Fridays at 2 p.m. Buffalo Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander here with the lowdown, getting a set for the Bills game against the Indianapolis Colts. You ready for this Sunday? You okay?
Yeah, I will be by Sunday. You know, we was kind of talking before the show. Mentally, I'm there. You know, we've had a great week of practice. Physically, I'm never ready at this late in the season till Sunday kickoff time.
You know, before we get into the Bills, he was just talking about Ryan Shazier.
Yeah.
Do you know him personally?
I know him a little bit. We had a chance to hang out at the Pro Bowl this year. You know, so we've kicked it a little bit. I don't know him that intimately, but he's a great dude, great guy to be around. I have a couple of guys that have been on the Pittsburgh Steelers, some coaches I know that are over there. So I know the type of man he is and type of player. So prayers and thoughts definitely go out to him and his family. You know, we're not even worried about it, whether ever play again.
Right.
Just worried about quality of life and him being able to, you know, take care of his family and all the things that we tend to take for granted each and every day. Be able to walk, run, hang out, pick up your son or, you know, your child. All those things. So hopefully he has a full recovery and a speedy recovery.
It was a tough hit to watch and a tough injury to watch. And I hear people talking since then about the technique, the tackling technique, which is drilled into you guys. And then somehow his technique just sort of fell short the other night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to have heads up and be able to see what you hit. You know, I actually didn't watch the play. I heard about it. I didn't want to watch it. Sometimes, you know, you're just playing fast and, you know, you drop your head a little bit and it's just a matter of degree of angles. I mean, you know, maybe 2 degrees higher and he's fine, you know, and it's hard. You know, you try to have the right technique, proper technique. But, you know, you're trying to get low on a guy, you know, he drops his head there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just hard to watch and hard to see. So hopefully.
You live with that risk, don't you, every time you step on
the ground. I was just actually kind of thinking about that as you kind of mentioned that. In the grand scheme of things, you are playing with fire. The longer you play, the longer you expose yourself to having, you know, those type of injuries, whether it's knees, ankles, neck. Whatever it may be, though, you know, just those type of things that can be debilitating at times.
I see guys, especially in this league, drop their heads all the time. You know, and they get lucky where they don't run into a guy's core or something like that.
Yeah.
But you see it every game, a guy drop his head trying to make a hit, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, I've been there. Know? I mean, where you feel the compression, and, you know, luckily it's just like maybe a stinger or a stiff neck for a couple of days. You know, you just never know when it's your time. Right.
Lorenzo, on the topic of, let me switch topics a little bit to NFL discipline, which in your role as a representative with the NFLPA has been in the news again this week. And in particular, your teammate, Tre'Davious White, and the hit that he absorbed from Rob Gronkowski, a one-game suspension. Any thoughts on that?
You know, obviously, I think most people, when you watch that hit and you see other suspensions around the league, that's not enough because it was premeditated and malicious. Even if it was within the confines of the game and it happened quick, he had time to think about it and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have guys that get 2 games for, you know, throwing blows face-to-face, man-to-man, and then you have a guy that's on the ground defenseless, players over, dead out of bounds, and you come down and drop your elbow on his neck and give him a concussion, and we're talking about player safety – he could have easily had broke his neck. Easily, if he hit him right the right way, you just never know how things crazy like that. I definitely thought it should have been a little steeper, but obviously the league felt a different way about it. But, you know, it's nothing that we can do. You know, just kind of got to move forward. It was out of character for Gronk. I will say that. I've never seen him do anything crazy like that. And, you know, we just have to, next time we play him, you know, handle it the right way in between the lines and try to be extra physical with him.
Does moving forward from that include, I mean, from a league-wide standpoint, you know, getting some measure of say in how these suspensions and punishment is handed out? Is that important to the players or players' association?
I think it's important to a certain extent, right? Obviously, when you have fines that are egregious in some sense, you know, you think about the Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. You think about this case where it's not enough, you know, in players' minds. But at what point are you willing to make some leeway when you're in negotiations, because it is a negotiable thing. So what are you willing to give up to have more say so in things that may affect, you know, maybe 10 to 15 players a year, and that may be high. I don't know. You know, I'm like, okay, it's never really affected the majority of guys, so why would you give up money or some other thing that may benefit, you know, the ownership, that side of things? So it's always – a fine line, and you know when things like this happen, why do players allow this guy to run the league?
Right.
Well, it's a business side. It's a give and take. It's not a cookie cutter. You can't just let's change this because it's better for everybody. They're gonna want something, and that's how it works. It becomes business.
With Lorenzo Alexander, the lowdown on Friday afternoons. Before we get to the lowdown in this matchup against the Colts, we should talk about, a couple of things. One of them is the Walter Payton Man of the Year. You are the Bills nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Congratulations.
That's I appreciate it, and it's a huge honor. Obviously, it's something that's voted on by your teammates to give you that nomination, as well as the Community Relations Department, and to be recognized, especially on this team where we have so many men that do a lot of great things in the community. It really means a lot to have your name side by side by a great player like Walter Payton that played the game at a high level and was even a better man and father. It's just a true blessing that I've been put in this place and have this ability to be able to serve the community the way I do.
You know, how hard is it when you're playing a season? You know, you always talk about the different things you have to do to get your body ready throughout the course of the week for the game on Sunday. You have a family, you have a wife, you have kids. How hard is it to get out there and still be in the community and be as active as you are?
It gets hard, but you got to have great balance. And, you know, like with anything in life, you tend to do the things that are most important to you. And I have a great partner in my wife, Majanique, and she takes care of a lot of things with the foundation and with the family when I'm away and when I can't do certain things where, I'm trying to divide my time. So without her, I wouldn't be able to do half the things that I do. And then our community relations department does a great job in supporting the guys on this team, not only me, of setting things up, having supportive staff, allowing you to kind of go in and come out with as little resistance as possible, and making your time really efficient.
Right. What of all the things you do off the field in the community, is there one or a couple of things that you're most proud of, Lorenzo?
I think it's just the just being able to impact people's lives. There's no one event or one thing that I do. It's just the ability to make a young person realize the abilities that they already have inside of them. I think we live in such a negative world of you're not good enough to do this. You live here, so you can't accomplish this. To be able to be that light or at least a helping hand to make them realize that they can achieve, especially young kids, can achieve anything no matter what your circumstances around you are, I think that's kind of like the biggest thing I get out of it.
As the Bills nominee and the nominees from each team around the league now from now to the end of the season wear a decal, right, on the back of your helmet. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I actually did see it. I saw a little tweet. Somebody was talking about it looking like Darth Vader from the bar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a cool thing, you know, to be able to represent and have that decal on. It's a true honor.
And then the person who wins gets to wear it on his jersey?
Yes, I think, because I think they had it on, like, Drew Brees' jersey. Yeah. So that's the one I saw, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a vote for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year at the awards night, the honors night, the night before the Super Bowl, I believe, right?
Right, they have that at the NFL honors.
Right.
They have the three finalists there, which is really cool. And, I'll give credit where credit is due. The NFL has done a great job of stepping up and really putting resources behind this award as well. This is my third time being a nominee for my team. I was a nominee in Washington for 2 years. And back then, I want to say the recipient received maybe 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to 100,000. And you split that, we give half to United Way and then a choice of my own, which will go to my foundation. So they're really making a true push of putting some resources behind this award and making it not only prestigious, but also helping the guys out with their causes directly with the money.
We're with Lorenzo Alexander. Time for the lowdown as he takes a look at the matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. If you have a comment or a question for Lorenzo, the phone line's open, by the way, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. All right, the lowdown, Bills versus Colts, the 3-9 Indianapolis Colts. It's a mismatch on paper, but I'm sure you look at this game and you don't see that, right?
Well, it can't be no mismatch if we dogs at home. Mm-hmm. So somebody doesn't think it's a mismatch on paper. They're a good team, solid team. If you have watched their games, they've been in a lot of close games. They just haven't had great efficiency and rhythm throughout the game. You know, they'll get into a situation where they have a two-minute drive going in and throw an interception, down at the goal line. And that's kind of, going to my first point, that we can't really allow them to get into any great rhythm.
Right.
If we can keep them off the field, getting off the field on third downs, keeping Brissett off his first key, making him go through his whole progression, and then making him scramble, getting his eyes off down the field, we'll have some great success early defensively. Because once they get going, they're actually pretty good. They have some great weapons in 84 and T.Y. Hilton.
Right. Now, we were talking before we came on air about the importance of the game. You were just talking about basically the importance of this game and being the dogs at home and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
How hard is it? Because you can have some young guys, young, like, you know, rookies on this team that might go into this game sleepwalking, looking at them being 3-9 or something like that. So do you continuously talk to those young guys so that they understand the magnitude of what they're in right now?
Yeah, I mean, we always do, I think, a great week of addressing all those things that guys can sometimes fall a victim of, you know, whether, you know, you look at the team's record or who they are or, you know, how well we're playing. And addressing, and we've done that. I think Leslie Frazier, especially defensively, I'm in those meetings. He always addresses making sure that we win the day each and every day, having a playoff caliber mentality no matter who we're playing. You know, the process never, ever really changes. You know, just the tendencies and the scheme and the game plan will, but how you prepare and your mindset should never, never change, because every Sunday you can get beat by any team. It doesn't really matter when you step out there on the field.
So your first key is not allow Indy to get into rhythm. I mean, this is a team, Lorenzo, that's given up 51 sacks. So, obviously, they're having trouble protecting the passer.
Yeah, they're having trouble. I think, you know, their offensive line is giving up a lot of pressures, you know, and it's for various reasons. I think some of it's, you know, obviously on the quarterback holding the ball, scrambling out, and you don't know where he's at, and you give up some sacks. Some of it's just guys beating their one-on-one matchups. But like I said, at any time, if you let an offense get on rhythm, running the ball on first and second down, getting third and manageables, they get some confidence, score early, you get on that roll, then you're looking at, you know, okay, this is a different type of game. You're playing from behind. And that's why we have to snuff it out early, stop the run, stop Frank Gore, who's still a great running back in this league, doing things at a high level, and put the game in Brissett's hands in some third and long situations. And I think that really gives us the advantage there.
You know, we talk about this offensive line and him giving up a bunch of sacks. You still got to tackle Brissett when he gets there. He's a big, strong dude.
He's mobile. But I think we can get him down. I mean, he's not Cam Newton, but he can move around the pocket very well. He does make some guys miss, you know, with some of the pump fakes. The biggest thing is not jumping. You know, watch on the film and some guys just having some bad technique jumping. And I don't want to take nothing away from him. He can move and run. He just doesn't have, I don't think, the juice or the shakes, you know, like some of the quarterbacks that we face.
So Lorenzo's first key, don't allow the Colts to establish rhythm.
Yeah.
Your second key deals with the elements, the weather.
Yes, it's just handling the weather. And it's not about being cold or anything of that nature. It's more about the wind and the gust. And if you haven't played in this weather, we haven't either at all this year, you know, whether it's returners on punt return, you know, sitting there trying to catch the ball, having muffs or kickoff muffs. Or, you know, as a punt return guy, you're blocking your guy and you lose sight of where the ball is and the ball hits you. So, like, those little details that can change the outlook on the game and you know, create turnovers, essentially, we have to make sure that we're smart and have great decision-making on the back end. And vice versa, try to take advantage of some of that with them coming in here, being a dome team, and never, ever really having to face it because of the division they play in.
You know, I caught punts when I was in college in Youngstown, and we would have some windy games.
Yeah.
You're down there, and then you get like a gust of wind, and the ball moves.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, oh, and then next thing you know, you're trying to catch it off to the side, and you muff it or, you know, something like that. It can happen to the best of returners. Sure. You know, you have to be on your P's and Q's.
Especially, it affects a lot of things. It affects the long snapper as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's snapping the ball back there, and it may push the ball slightly left. And the punter has to move over, and that can give you a chance to get a block. So you have to be really on your P's and Q's on everything that you do with this weather and how it affects the ball.
You know how the Bills were just in Kansas City a couple weeks ago, and you probably saw it. You walk out the tunnel, it says the loudest stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, the record. Or in Denver, they've said, you know, 5,280 feet.
Right.
Yeah. There's something to that kind of here, right, on a weather day like this. Maybe
when you come in here, it's cold. It's nippy. Yeah. I mean, we had a game early in the year when we played Oakland. It wasn't even that cold yet, and they already were complaining about it. You know, obviously they're a California team, but this is much the same thing. Even though it gets cold in Indy, they play inside all the time and haven't been outside that often. And the places that they do play outside tend to be warm weather cities. So it definitely gives you an advantage because, you know, you walk out, ooh, man, this is a little, did I bring my long sleeves? I got my foot warmers? You know, you start thinking about
move.
Some of that.
Some extra skin move on you. Yeah.
So, and it's different. It's just different cold up here. I mean, it cuts you. I mean,
the wind
that wind is whipping through. That's what really makes it cold is that wind.
Do I see – now, you're out there pretty early on Sunday mornings. We're out there doing our TV show.
Yeah, I get out there early, walk around, do my warm-ups. Right. You know, it takes me a while to lube everything up.
But when I do notice that when the weather turns, the number of guys out there getting loose before the actual warm-up.
Oh, it shuts down. I'll be out there still.
Like, where is everybody?
Really? Nobody. Like, give me a game here in a couple hours?
Yeah. I won't take as far as Ron Shazier is known for as going out there shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll be out there. You know, you gotta let it touch your bones and feel a little bit so you're not shocked when you run out of the tunnel for the first time.
What, do you remember the coldest game you ever played in or the most uncomfortable weather situation you ever played in?
I mean, I played in a couple of Chicago games that were pretty bad. We had one here last year that was bad, too. I can't remember. It wasn't.
Was it the Steelers? The snow game?
No, it wasn't the Steelers. Because it didn't get this cold. Who did we play? Miami was pretty cold to me.
Cleveland.
And it was another one that was Cleveland. Cleveland was cold, too.
I was cold in the booth in that game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You played out in Arizona and the Raiders. What's it like for when you were gold to play against, you know, some cold weather or windy games and things like that for you? As the opposing team.
I mean, it's just different. I mean, you're just not used to that weather. I mean, especially if you come from Arizona. Right now, it's like 70 degrees. I was talking to one of my homeboys out there. He's like, man, yeah, it's 70 degrees, man. So, yeah, you need to come move out here. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it, actually. And then you come here, and it's 20. I mean, that's a 50-degree difference, and you're just not used to it. So you're moving a little slower, don't want to touch nobody. Don't touch me. Until I have to.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's a mindset. It messes you up.
We got another key from Lorenzo, but I want to work in a call right here. This is Bob in Cheektowaga on the line with us. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I got a question for Lorenzo. If the Bills at times have had trouble stopping the run, and I'm wondering if Kyle Williams can't play this Sunday, how are they going to stop Frank Gore?
Well, I think Kyle is going to be playing, but even if he's not, you know, the defense is more than just Kyle. Obviously, he's a great player and does everything the right way at a high level. But you can't just rely on one guy if you're going to ever stop. You got to have a cord of guys running to the ball, getting off their blocks. And we've been inconsistent with that. I mean, there's no shying away from that. And Kyle will be the first one to tell you that as well. So, but whoever's in the game, because Kyle doesn't play the whole game, he rotates.
Right.
So we can't say when Kyle goes out the game, oh, well, I guess they're going to run the ball now. Yeah, we can't stop him because Kyle is not in the game.
Yeah.
And that's why this is the ultimate team game, because you need 11 men at all times in their gaps, running to the ball, tackling, trying to get guys down.
You know, as you talk about stopping the run and going against Frank Gore, he's one back that really knows how to, like, get skinny and get through the smallest creases.
Right.
So your gap integrity and all of that stuff has to be on point this week.
It does. And, it's you know, he's, like I said, one of the great backs in this league and has really defied Father Time, especially playing the running back position. Has great patience, great vision. Maybe he's lost a little juice on the top end, but he's still running cats over, making guys miss, and racking up some yards. Obviously, they've been behind, so his numbers probably aren't as good as they probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that we have to watch out for the whole game, and it's consistency, right? Because you can knock a run out 4 or 5 times, snuff it out, and then you let him get out one time, a 40-yard run up, they can't stop the run, you know? So it's always, it's consistency. Being able to do it for 4 quarters, continue to tackle, and you see it around the league, it's hard, and that's why this is the NFL. So you have to be consistent with it and making sure guys get off blocks, because guys are going to get out their gaps sometimes because they are playing NFL players. Mm-hmm. They have great schemes, and that's why it's all about running to the ball too and having that physical mindset once we get there. And then another thing that we need to do that I didn't even talk about, this we haven't really been doing of late, is creating some more turnovers for ourselves. I think that's key as well.
One thing about defense before we get to your last key, you know, you gave the Patriots, you gave up just 9 points in the first half last week, a couple third-quarter touchdowns. You gave up 10 the week before to Kansas City. Has your defense regained its footing, found yourself a little bit the last few weeks?
I think we have a little bit. I mean, I think we still want to work on getting the ball, creating some more turnovers. More impact plays, getting off the field on third downs, not allowing to even drive down to kick a field goal is always key. You're always trying to figure out ways to be better and be great. You never want to just be complacent because, oh, yeah, we stopped Tom Brady, you know, for the first half or, you know, we don't want no points on the board. So that's what we're always trying to strive towards.
Last thing in Lorenzo's keys, the lowdown, deals with the Buffalo offense. You got to be productive when you get down near the goal line.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a great job in the last couple of weeks of driving the ball, but we have to make sure we capitalize as far as scoring in the red zone and not field goals. We want touchdowns. If you look at that, especially look at the game last week, it's a total different game if we're able to punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something the offense really wants to key on, because it's going to help our team and put us in a more advantageous spot where we can allow our D-line, which I think is one of the strengths of our team, to rush the passer, because now you know it's passed because they're trying to they're playing from behind. And you're just able to get more effective. And then we have the ball hawks on the back end. So it really helps us as a defense be able to create more turnovers for them.
You know, how much do you get to watch when you're on the sideline? You're one of the vocal guys on the team.
Yeah.
You're probably over there looking at, you know, film and all types of stuff. How
right.
much do you get to watch?
Well,
once
we make our corrections and kind of go through some of the things or reminders that we need to defensively, I mean, I'm watching the game like everybody else is. And you see things that happen, opportunities, you know, good and the bad. But I don't ever really go over there and say anything, because we have great leadership over there. And most of the time, whether it's Tyrod, E. Wood, Richie, you know, one of those guys are in the offense's face is trying as far as getting them motivated. You know, so I'm really trying to worry about my job, making sure I'm doing that at a high level on defense and special teams. And I allow those leaders over there to take care of the offense.
When you're on the sidelines, you watch on the big scoreboard, or can you watch?
I'm a scoreboard guy. I can't, because I'm sitting down anyway, so I can't see behind anybody, but I'll watch it up on the scoreboard,
Hey, before I let you go, did you two have some sort of dust-up about caps this week? Did I miss something?
Well, it wasn't a dust-up. I guess they have the new Niagara Falls hat, and I said, ooh, it's hot. Icy. I thought maybe Donald might. I kind of hinted, like, I hope Donald has one tomorrow. So I thought he would go out and reach out to his connections and get me one. But obviously, I have this one on. I have the tags on. So this is not my hat. I just put it on because I don't have a haircut yet.
You know, we got to talk to the media relations department. Well, I mean, they're usually the ones.
That's what you. That's why I tweeted you.
I know you tweeted me for that.
Did you talk to him? Did you talk to him?
I didn't talk to him this week, but usually they have it in
this
there.
Week?
I didn't even see. Guys, media relations, we got to get this going. You guys are slacking right now.
Yeah, we could.
And now I got to hear from
Lorenzo.
It could
be a free promo for him right now, too.
See how I put that on media relations?
Yeah, I know. You just passing the buck. Right over the bus. Nah, you ran him over. You didn't pass it. You ran him over. That's a shame.
That's what I was looking for.
That's the type of dude you are? You're going to pass it on to somebody else?
Let me tell you the type of character, John. Hey, when I'm done, I would never do that to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, just let me know when you want me to come in and take over him.
Because
I would never do that to you.
To be honest with you, the last, you know, when we had the chicken wing hat, you know, I was keeping that hat.
Yeah.
And then Murph, who, you know, Murph and I work together every day. I thought he'd actually be on my side of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, you know, you should really give him the hat. And it made me feel bad, so I actually ended up giving you the hat. But I thought he would have been on my team. So we're going to have to work that out. You know,
he's trying to make you a better person.
Yes.
He's trying to hold you to a higher standard than you're going to hold yourself. That's what John Murphy's all about.
So
that's why you're in here.
This is what I got to do.
This is what you're in here for. Learning.
All right.
The chicken wing hat is sweet.
It is.
The chicken wing hat is sweet. You use it?
I wear it a lot.
Yeah.
Do you?
People like that.
Yeah.
I had one. I gave it to a pal of mine.
Okay.
Oh, you had one?
I had one and gave it to a friend.
Yeah. See what he's doing?
Yeah.
He's leading by example. He's not just words.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Lorenzo.
Yep, anytime.
The Lowdown every Friday.